Welcome back to the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and I'm the real expedition champion because this weekend I opened a collector's booster pack. I got a foil windswept team.
Ooh, nice. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And did you hear that Jin Yang Yu lost Mowu when planeswalking?
No.
He's having a really rough time.
Please listen carefully.
Pretty good one. And this is episode 69.
Nice.
And we are did not expect, I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I should have expected that. And we are here today to talk about all things Magic the Gathering,
but mostly Commander.
This week we also pulled our winner from the Patreon giveaway. So congratulations to Matt Flucher. Got a pack of Magic Origins with that Flip Kithian in it that we opened up. That if you are a patron, you are automatically added to that giveaway. If you're not a patron, you can head over to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and subscribe for any dollar amount. We really appreciate that. We are going to be doing a giveaway at the end of every month for all of our patrons, for all of the packs that we've opened on the show or that we opened on stream, donated by our favorite Steve at Cube Draft on Twitter. So we wanted to thank you, and we couldn't do this without you, and we're looking forward to making more content for you in the future.
And if you're looking for another way to support the COD,
support the podcast.
It's like we haven't done this 68 times before this. If you're looking for another way to support the podcast, whenever you are listening to the podcast on, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, if you could leave a comment, like, subscribe, follow. If there's another thing you can do, don't hit the thumbs down button though. Thumbs up button.
Comments, good, bad, constructive criticism.
We would love it.
We would love it.
We also have a TCG player affiliate link located in the show notes below. So if you are looking to pick up any singles or sealed Magic product using TCG player, please use our affiliate link. We get a little bit of a benefit from that, a little bit of kickback from TCG player, which helps us with some of our patron giveaways or help us create some more content.
Yeah. So this past week was a really good week for us because we had three firsts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess not firsts. Just they were landmarks. No.
Highs. Mm-hmm.
Highs. Let's say that. So we had the most viewers mm-hmm. on one of our Twitch streams mm-hmm. Last Thursday when we did our budget decks.
Yeah.
If you didn't see those, they'll be posted this coming Sunday mm-hmm. on YouTube. That was a lot of fun. We had the most responses to one of our tweets. We asked everybody what their first commander deck was that they ever built. And mm-hmm. we got into the triple digits for responses. So that was the first time for us. That was really excited.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also had the most listens to our podcast ever in a single week. I always like looking at the graph of Anchor. It's like kind of up, down, up, down. Okay, it went up a little, went way down. And then it's just like up, straight Everest. Up. It's just a vertical bar for this past week. I don't know what we did, but we love all of you.
Yeah.
The episode was called Kicking It Old School. Mm-hmm. Coyle is also giving out tokens with orders from his from his Facebook Marketplace account.
That's right.
I don't know what it was, but we thank all of you. Yeah. And
if last week was your first week listening and this week is your second week listening, welcome back to the Guardian Project podcast.
Welcome back. What are we talking about this week?
So this week we are going to talk about Dragon Shield. Came out with a new sleeve, custom sleeve. Looks pretty cool. We're going to talk about Jumpstart Europe release. And we're going to talk about Commander Legends and some unfortunate news there in terms of when it's coming out. And our main topic is, it's episode 69. So we're going to have a mailbag episode today. We asked you, the viewers, the listeners, to ask us some questions that you want us to answer. And so we have a long list of them. We're actually going to read them directly from Twitter and Discord that we got those questions from, and we're going to answer them.
Let's jump into it. So I'm really excited about these Dragon Shield sleeves. So they are in beta. It's called the Sleeve Crafter, so you can get 100 standard size sleeves. You design and build and customize your sleeves. it says that your deck isn't just ordinary and neither should your sleeve. So basically you can upload your own image and they will print these. Right now it is only available in the EU. So it is £24.99. I did have to look up,
those are euros,
euros, not pounds, mm-hmm. euros compared to the dollar,
mm-hmm.
and the dollar's less. So it's a little bit more,
right?
I think it was what, €1.18 compared to a dollar is $1.18. No. So it's worth more.
Yeah.
So it's worth more.
The dollar is stronger than the euro right now.
See, I don't do math.
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay. But for, I mean, less than $25, you get a custom Dragon Shield, full set of 100 sleeves.
So Guardian Project Pod sleeves when?
Like, we
could literally do it now.
No, we're not in Europe. We have to move to Europe.
You can order these though, or is, oh, they don't ship to the US yet.
Yeah, so we'll have to get, if you're listening to this from Europe, yes. and you want to affiliate yourself with us and help us out getting some Guardian Project Podcast sleeves, email us at
guardianprojectpod@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Guardian Project Pod. Yeah, so this would be really cool. There was some pretty strongly written disclaimer language initially, and it was basically like, if you upload your image, we have all rights to it, is kind of what it was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had retweeted this and we said, this would be really cool. And some people responded immediately and said, look at the fine print. And I was like, well, we did see it. Mm-hmm. It's still a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was within one day they responded and said, actually, they were, those legal people were a little overzealous and overreaching. It's being corrected. We don't want to own your art and forever maintain it and change it. They were like, the intention was that we have to put in here, we're going to use it to print it.
Right.
Like, we have to say we're going to use it to give you your sleeves.
Correct. Because most custom t-shirts, custom embroideries, that kind of companies, they do have that just so that they can use it to sell it to you. Because otherwise they are selling you that image. You have to give them the right to use that image to sell that image back to you.
Yeah. So if you're looking for sleeves and you're in the EU, here you go.
Do it up.
Do it up. So I had not heard about, it's been a long time since I talked about Jumpstart. It's been a long time since I complained that I wanted more Jumpstart cards.
I gave you a Jumpstart card today.
I sold you a Jumpstart card. I got a Bruvac today.
That's right.
Finally. we've only been talking about it for a long time. So Jumpstart tabletop release for the EU is happening on October 16th. And I didn't realize that it still hadn't been there.
Yeah. No, Europe has been getting kind of the raw end of the Jumpstart deal. And we thought we had it bad in North America.
Yeah, I didn't realize people still hadn't even had it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like that is going to come to tabletop on October 16th. The announcement did say it could be there beforehand, but like, check with your LGS there. So I feel like Jumpstart was years ago, but I know it wasn't. But everything feels like what it's time anymore.
Yeah, I mean, seriously,
When was Ikoria?
We were just talking on the way here, talking about how Command Fest Chicago was the last Magic event that we did, and that was almost exactly 1 year ago.
Coming up next month. That was in November of last year, and it would have been the last event. Would have been Magic Fest Detroit,
which was in March,
which was like canceled. We found out live on the episode when we were recording that week on a Wednesday that it was canceled that weekend. Yeah. I was like, are you serious right now?
We were recording on the couches, actually.
We were not in the studio.
When Ryan still had his roommate here.
Yeah. Now we're back in the studio.
Studio back.
So if you're in the EU, you're going to get some Jumpstart soon. And then finally, Commander Legends. The global release has been delayed until November 20th.
Yeah, kind of disappointing, but hopefully we don't have to go through all the rigmarole that we went through with like, oh, you know, we're going to have the Zendikar Rising first batch shipment at this point, and then 2 weeks later, we're going to try to get you the rest of it.
Yeah, it's like a week later, then we're going to have the collector's boosters and the set boosters. No, they had set boosters only so they could give them out with the pre-release kits. And right. They're like, no, you know what? It's fine. But I kind of until all this is fixed, I expect every single Magic set to just be delayed. It's totally fine.
I mean, if they just don't tell us the release date, until they have it finalized. Then it's never delayed. It's just, this is the new date.
No, it should just be surprise. Commander Legends is out today.
That would be awful for me personally. I need preparation financially for Commander Legends. And so this is actually, you know, it gives you a couple more weeks in case you want to get one more paycheck. Make sure you have all your Christmas gifts for all your family members. And maybe you'll already know how much Christmas money you're getting by that point, or Thanksgiving money, if that's a thing.
No, it's birthday money.
I know it's birthday money,
but which is right around Thanksgiving.
Maybe you could have, oh, perfect.
I have, my birthday is right around Thanksgiving, and I have this thing that I call birthday money. I get money for my birthday from, you know, people or whatever, if I get like from family members. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I like, you know, you go to spend that on something, and then you go, well, I was going to buy that anyway. So then you still have your birthday money. And then that money just keeps rolling over, and it's like at some point it's no longer birthday money. You spent that money on magic cards or some video game, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm, a new fish tank you bought on a whim. That was me.
Oops, I have a fish tank now.
Yeah, so the delay says this is including all Commander Legends products, draft boosters, collector's boosters, commander decks, and the pre-releases will occur starting November 13th, pre-release promos will be given out with the previous date printed on them. In regions where in-store play is paused, organizers may host at-home or remote pre-releases only.
So now that we have this new solidified date, hopefully we'll be able to get pre-orders in with our LGS or any online retailers that you're looking to order them through. We promote LGS first. Got to keep them alive. We're going to go back and play at them. Hopefully soon, hopefully eventually, maybe the beginning of 2021. So make sure that you are buying your products through them so that you can keep the brick and mortar going.
Keep them going.
Got to get the brick house going. It was
previews. Previews are going to start for this on October 26th. So
that's very exciting.
We got a couple weeks and we can start seeing what we're going to get.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. I mean, we even have a question about Commander Legends. So we'll see what happens. So mailbag.
Yes.
Let's answer we got a lot of questions that people want. Okay, so you go ahead and start with one of the questions.
All right. So Ryan on Twitter, aka Davos DFSMTG, asked us, how do you determine who the threat is in an EDH game?
It's Coil.
And have you ever made deals in an EDH game that you regret? So how do you determine threat level?
Let's start with the second one. Okay. Let's start with the second half.
Have you ever made deals in an EDH game that you regret?
Yes.
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 Your partner, Nick, doesn't trust me anymore after the very first game I ever played with him when he made a deal with me, and then I immediately broke that deal.
But you won that turn.
No, I was going to win that turn. He had a counterspell. Yeah.
This weekend, I made a deal that I would not swing at one of our buddies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I swung everything at Nick.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But he had out a crawl space, so I could only swing two of them. Oh. He goes, oh, you can only swing two.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of untapping two creatures, I swung them at the person that I said I wouldn't swing at. And I was like, I should not have done this.
Oh, yeah.
But it was done. I lost that game.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough.
Did the person you made the deal with and then immediately broke the deal, did they win the game?
I don't remember, but it wasn't really a deal. I just said I won't swing at you next turn because I kept going for that person. Oh, I was playing Minotaur, so you have to just swing.
You got to swing.
No, and I was like, no, I won't. And then I did. And then... immediately that I was like, I didn't go back on it, and they were like, you literally did. And I said, oh, you're right, because I thought I was swinging at Nick, and then I just decided not to swing at Nick, because it's not that I decided not to, I guess I couldn't. So instead of untapping, I just threw this somewhere else. So I have made that deal. I've also made the deal where, you know, all right, I'll let you resolve this card and it won't be that big of a deal, and then immediately you go, that card should not have resolved.
Yeah.
Because I can't get past the Rhystic Study I allowed you to have, mm-hmm, or the fact that I allowed you to, you know, someone got a Smothering Tithe and then they wheeled. And you're like, oh.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really good. That's happened before where I played a Smothering Tithe and then wheeled, and I think you're the one who enabled me to win.
That is correct. I was like, I'm wheeling. I don't care.
I was like, wheel.
Yeah.
All right, so determining the threat...
in an EDH game. So I honestly think we could do a full episode on threat assessment. So I guess if we want to keep it at least slightly brief, we have a lot of questions to get through today. I think there are definitely multi facets of threat level. Number one is board state, but you can't ignore the person that has a thought vessel and 25 cards in their hand either.
So, commander matters. The actual commander itself matters. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you can also be, you can underestimate a commander you don't see very often and go, I guess I should have done something. I didn't know it could do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One of my first commanders that people underestimated when I had it was actually Lord of Tressorhorn. So I had a Lord of Tressorhorn deck back in the day. And if you don't know Lord of Tressorhorn, the relevant part of his text is he's a 10-4. And all you got to do is team or battle rage. And fun fact, the only reason he is a 10-4 is because Andy is putting his fingers up to his headset. That's a 10-4. It actually is why it is 10-4 and not a 9-4. And why Yargle actually is a 9-3. To be just slightly less powerful than Lord of Tressorhorn. But anyway, Lord of Tressorhorn has some downsides. When it enters the battlefield, you have to sacrifice two creatures. So it's kind of easy to kill it. But once it's on the battlefield and you swing with it and you team or battle rage it and then you kill someone because commander damage. Yeah.
No. I look at life totals sometimes when they're relevant. So when you played Fire Song and Sunspeaker Budget, although we know that it's a budget deck, mm-hmm. when you were at like 260 life on stream last month, mm-hmm. I was like, well, we're gonna have to go because he can draw past like four turns in a row and he's gonna be totally safe and refill his hand.
Right.
And so we all swung, but I mean you still came in second.
Yeah, it's, you know, when someone does have that high life total, okay. Let's say for me, when I'm playing Fire Song and Sunspeaker and I have that 500 life or something like that.
This, by the way, this is off of a Star of Extinction resolving with a bunch of creatures out.
Nice. And when you have that life total and you're playing as Fire Song and Sunspeaker, you only look for one thing, and that's for commander damage or maybe infect or something if someone's going to be playing that. So alternate win conditions, I guess, is a really broad way of saying it. But every time it's happened with Fire Song and Sunspeaker, I have had my life total reduced to zero. It's crazy, but everyone turns on you. But yeah, I mean, that's a really good point, because at any point, that 500 life total, they could be dropping an Aether Flux Reservoir and killing everyone just immediately. Mm-hmm. So you have to know the perspectives. And if you've played with the person across the table, you probably know their deck or their play style. You know if they're going to have that one card win or something like that. So, but if it's a stranger that you're playing with at your LGS, I would expect the worst.
Expect the unexpected.
How do you do that, though? It's unexpected.
Yeah, my other threat is, do you have a Smothering Tithe and Aristic Study? Because I'm just going to go for you.
That's not a bad reasoning. Yeah. Are you playing? And like you said before,
what am I playing? I don't know. Like our last stream when I played Feather,
mm-hmm.
I was targeted pretty hard at one point, but yeah. It was fine because that deck can do things. Then it can do no things.
It can also
so
do nothing.
Sometimes you just need to deal with a couple things and then you're good to go. So I don't know. Generally, threat assessment's really difficult, but I think I look at the number of cards in hand and the potential for danger in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's take another question. This one's from our Discord. This one's from our newest patron, Lenny Woolley. Thank you for joining. A Johnny's Gay Pride made on Twitter. What commanders have you always wanted to build but never have? I have an answer for this one. All right, I've always wanted to build Muldrotha, and I never have.
Oh, yeah.
So Muldrotha is a Sultai commander. It allows you to play with cards that are in your graveyard. So Muldrotha is a 6/6 for 6, 3 black, green, blue. And it says during each of your turns, you may play up to one permanent card of each permanent type from your graveyard. So you can play an enchantment. You can play a creature. You can play an artifact. It's so good. You can play a land. And it has, you can build a budget. Mm-hmm. You can, excluding Muldrotha, and you can build it.
Oh, Muldrotha's not that expensive.
Isn't Muldrotha not that expensive
anymore?
I think
it's under $10 now.
Oh, okay. All mm-hmm. right. I thought it used to be like 20 some bucks. I guess it used
was.
To be.
Yeah.
So Muldrotha, I think, is the deck that I used to want to build. I also, and I don't know why, and we've talked about this before off the podcast. Sometimes we're like, I'm not going to play the most popular commanders because everybody plays that commander. And I was like, you know, who cares? I want to be able to say I played Muldrotha. I didn't build Najeela because everybody built Najeela.
Mm-hmm.
Najeela's really good.
Yeah, I think maybe people are afraid of like net decking because people are like, oh, I don't want to play the same deck everyone is. You don't have to play. You can play Muldrotha without the enchantment second chance Muldrotha, to make infinite turns.
Stupid permanence. I don't know. Anything, sure. Muldrotha with cards that are only played in 1% or less of the decks they could be played in.
What about Muldrotha tokens? You can keep recurring the doubling season that people keep removing over and over and over again and the parallel lives. You know, if you
and the Primal Vigor.
Yeah, I mean if you're playing a permanent heavy strategy and you're sick of people destroying them all the time and you don't have good recursion, well, now you're playing Muldrotha.
Yeah. I've always wanted to build this. I have one in my binder. I look at it and go, I need to build a new deck, and then I see a new card came out, mm-hmm. like I don't know, anything from a new set because I have to build new cards.
Anything in Sultai?
Well, not even, because when we had that new Sultai Hydra came out, I wasn't really interested. Mm. I don't have a Sultai deck, and at one point I wanted to build Tasigur, and Tasigur is also extremely popular with Delve, but I just haven't done it.
You should build Sidisi. I'll give you a copy of Sidisi for free if you build Sidisi.
I have that Sidisi though. Oh, okay. I do have that. I used to play cons a lot, but I think
okay.
Muldrotha, how about you?
So for the longest time, and I'll answer the question the way that it's stated, but for the longest time when we were first started playing Magic, I did want to build the Gitrog monster, but I ended up building the Gitrog monster. So, but a commander, and I took it apart almost immediately just because it was too strong. Not fun to play. It was solitaire. but I guess I've always kind of wanted to do some partner commanders. Partners just kind of has a negative connotation because people think it's like super competitive and stuff. But I'm actually kind of excited to get some maybe more underpowered commanders. What I really want to do is I want to build Vile Smasher plus blue and just like make a nice Grixis shell, just Grixis good stuff with Vile Smasher plus one of the monocolor blue partners coming up here from Commander Legends.
Well, you could have done any of the blue ones that were already out. You just haven't built it.
That's true. I don't own them. Like Ludvec or something like that. Yeah, I just don't own them. I only have Vile Smasher. And I sold my Thrasios, I think. I think it came in the Yidris pre-con I had at one point.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I have not. Yeah, I haven't. I don't think we've played against a Vile Smasher deck in a long time either. Like partner decks in general. I think I play a lot of the newer partners, but mm-hmm. I don't have any of the old partners in any decks. So
I had Vile Smasher in my first deck that I ever built on my own, which was my Mogus God of Slaughter deck. And I also had Kavarik the Merciless in that.
Yeah, that was a very good deck.
Those were cool. All right. So our next question comes again from our Twitter, from Eric Friends at MTG Frenzy. Says, I'll give you an easy one. What's your favorite deck? But you can only pick one. Your favorite deck.
I mean, I've talked about it so much on the show, so I'm just going to say it again. It's totally fine, because I am the Noyandar guy. Mm-hmm. I love that deck. I decided to completely foil out an entire deck. Mm-hmm. If you are coming back to the show and this is your first time listening, or you haven't listened since the episode when I talked about the Noyandar coat rack, mm-hmm. or any of the other times that I've talked about Noyandar, it is a blue-white deck that plays a bunch of bounce spells. You slow the game down. It's not necessarily control, but there definitely are some counter spells.
Sure.
But you're looking to probably get to turns like 6, 7, 8, and then you start really doing your things, mm-hmm. whereas mm-hmm. a lot of games start ending around then. so you're playing massive bounce spells or mass bounce spells to bounce all non-land permanents and then cards that destroy all non-land permanents while you're activating your ability to turn lands into creatures. They still count as lands, so they stay out. And I have completely foiled that deck for all the cards that can be foil.
Okay.
I have a Tundra, which is one of the original dual lands. I finally picked that up. Obviously, it can't be in foil unless you have a proxy. Mm-hmm. And then Equinox cannot be in foil mm-hmm. because it's a card from Legends. It's an enchant land that counters a spell that would destroy a land you control, because that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I have a Thought Vessel, which is not in foil.
It wasn't printed in Double Masters. So I was trying to think, like Basalt Monolith, that one was in foil.
Basalt Monolith finally came out in foil. Yeah. So
my favorite deck, and I know...
I'm interested because I don't think you've ever said which one's your favorite. Uh-huh. Well, I have a feeling I know which one it is, but you're going to throw a curveball and it's not going to be that.
I'm going to throw a curveball just because it is definitely tied between three decks. And the one I'm going to pick is actually one that's not currently assembled, and that is Kokusho Reanimator.
Yeah.
I had a mono black Kokusho Reanimator deck that I specifically built because I love Reanimator decks. And I think I play like 18 to 20 different reanimation spells in it. And the entire goal of the deck is kill Kokusho and reanimate Kokusho. The whole reason I built the deck is one of our LGSs actually had a limit on how many times you could reiterate an infinite combo. So I wanted to, and they limited it to 10 interactions. It was
one is five, and I think one was 10.
Yeah,
it was changed a couple times.
Yeah, it was five on Sundays and 10 on Fridays.
Okay.
So it was for the Friday league, and I made it so that with Kokusho, every time it dies, each opponent loses five life, and then you gain life equal to the life loss this way. So I made it so 10 iterations of Kokusho dying with my Nim Death Mantle, Ashnod's Altar, and Spawn of Ulamog combo, which makes it so that I kill Kokusho, get two colorless mana, produces an Eldrazi spawn because of Spawn of Ulamog, and then I kill that for two colorless mana to pay the four colorless mana into Nim Death Mantle to automatically bring Kokusho back. You do that 10 times, you do 50 life to everybody, and then you win even with only 10 iterations. So,
but you have to set all that up in
you
a
do.
League, though.
You do.
And it was for a league,
yes,
obviously.
It was for a league. But it wasn't mono black, and I did run a few tutors to help me set
all right,
up the
what's
combo.
Two and three?
Shirei.
Okay, that's the one I was assuming.
Which is my pet deck. And then Nicol Bolas Planeswalkers.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played against that in a really long time.
It's a very strong Grixis control shell around a Planeswalker. So we have to play. I think the last time I played it was when we played with Zubi.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to do an Azorius versus Grixis stream again.
We did that again. Azorius won last time.
Yeah, because you guys worked together because Grixis was infighting a little bit. As Grixis does.
All right. Our next question comes from Bruce from the Epic Experiment podcast. Mm. Do you have any pet cards that you like to build with? So this was hard because I wouldn't say it's a pet card that I like to... So pet cards typically are defined as a card that's not particularly good, or maybe it's underplayed or undervalued, but you jam it into decks just because you like that card.
Right.
And when I learned about the card Overburden, I really liked it because you can do some funky things by returning lands to your hand. But I've realized that it sometimes can really, I guess, pull specific deck strategies to a screeching halt or just they come to a grinding halt because they just can't they can't get over this. So Overburden's an enchantment for one and a blue, and it says whenever a player puts a creature into play, they return a land they control to their hand. So I play this in Noyandar. I also play it in Lavinia, Azorius Renegade, just because I need time.
Right.
And I don't have time for you to ramp 12 times and then play like eight creatures. I need your lands to go back to your hand when you do that, so that you have to sometimes discard because you don't have max hand size and stuff.
I don't want
to
do that.
But I would say I have this in three or four decks. I don't know if it meets the definition of pet card at this point, but I do play it a lot because I really like it, and I do not think Overburden is played very often. I'll look it up on EDH Rec and see what we're at.
Right. So, and I guess my pet card, it's a card that I've been screaming from the hilltops that more people need to play, and that is a card Final Parting. So Final Parting is a 5 CMC tutor. You search for one card, put it in your hand, you search for another card, and put it in your graveyard. So I just love it because you can search for a creature, throw it in your graveyard, search for a reanimation spell, put it in your hand, and then reanimate that creature.
Our Overburden is in 1,452 decks. That's it. I'm actually really surprised that it is that low. And then Final Parting is currently in 9,913 decks. So it's only in 5% of the decks it could be in. It's likely just because it costs 5 CMC. But
that's
probably why. But it's a very, very strong card. And I only have a copy because Coil opened a lot of Dominaria. I opened a lot of Dominaria. Can't find a single Final Parting.
Now, one card I remember when we were both building our Pauper decks for a Tapped Out MTG stream.
Tapped Out's the website that you're probably looking at right now.
I remember we both added a card that we had never seen before, and we both went, wait, why isn't this card being played more? And that's Keep Watch. And Keep Watch is an instant for two and a blue. It says draw a card for each attacking creature. It's like, yeah, I, if Can that be called a pet card? I need to put it in every blue deck. I still don't have it in every blue deck that I have.
It costs three.
It costs three mana.
And it's an instant.
And it's an instant.
So you can do it when someone else is swinging in your deck that doesn't even have creatures. Someone's going to have creatures.
I mean, you would not be able to do it. It would be a really bad card if it was at sorcery speed. Because you would never be able to cast it when creatures were attacking.
That's true. That's true.
Unless you had like a Vedalken.
You're right. So it has to be an instant.
It did have to be an instant. Yes.
That was a silly question.
Hey, silly questions, silly answers. All right. So our next question, and you know, this is the threefer that came from Twitter from Park, aka PStock911. It's a three-parter. So the first one is actually quite a doozy. The top five cards in each of your own signature spell books.
A signature spell book. Okay. Yep. When people think of me, what cards am I playing? What cards do I play the most, or which cards am I playing?
This is your spell book. So it doesn't even have, it could be a card you never played. You just went like, I want that card to be in my spell book.
All right. So I definitely have, I mean, I'm definitely playing, I definitely have Rhystic Study in there.
Okay.
I mean, for sure. I'm going to draw cards. Maybe go off flavor a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Wheels. So maybe like the Heartwarming Redemption. So ooh, the Boros Wheel.
Yeah.
That's a really good card.
You gain life.
It gives you a little bit. Do you gain life off of that card? You gain life and also, but you also draw one extra than you had and gain life.
Yeah. So it's so that it replaces itself.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you discard your hand, then draw cards equal to the number of cards you discarded plus one, and then gain life for each card in your hand.
Yeah. 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 So Heartwarming Redemption. I mean, we talked about Overburden. So maybe an Overburden?
Sure. In foil.
In foil.
Of course.
I've already got it in foil. I love it. Cyclonic Rift, and I usually play Cyclonic Rift for two. It's a 7 CMC spell, according to most. Play it for two a lot.
Yeah, if you flip it over in your Yuriko deck, you're only doing two damage. Just
only
saying.
Two.
Just saying.
And then one more spell. Omniscience.
Omniscience. Okay.
I'm gonna go with Omniscience. I'm gonna cast all the things for free.
Okay. Yeah. Everything's going to be free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. My spell book is not only spell book Wyrmcoil Engine, but it is spell book She-Ray.
Spell book She-Ray.
Yeah. So it's actually, I that might have been misleading. Wyrmcoil Engine, not one of the cards in this spell book. We are going to have She-Ray with its rare symbol from Kamigawa.
Okay.
That's going to be in it.
But it's not going to have the Planeswalker symbol at the bottom left.
No, it will not. It will not have that Planeswalker symbol. It will not be in foil either. All of these will be non-foil only.
Do we have the option to buy yours in foil?
No.
So yours is coming. All right. Mine comes in both because I want. No, mine comes in foil.
Only foil, and mine's only non-foil.
Yes.
So Corrupt Court Official will be one of them. It is a card from Portal Three Kingdoms that when it enters the battlefield, target player discards a card.
Yeah, it's mean, but okay. Mm-hmm. In She-Ray.
That's correct. We're gonna have Burglar Rat.
Okay.
When it enters the battlefield, target opponent discards a card. We are going to have the Black Zubera. When it dies, target opponent discards a card for each Zubera that died this turn.
Okay. Yep.
And last but not least, we are going to have Marionette Master.
Was that five? Oh, yeah.
Because She-Ray.
Yeah.
So Marionette Master will be the last one, which is a 1/3 fabricate 3. It says whenever an artifact you control goes to the graveyard, you deal damage to target player equal to Marionette Master's power.
And that Zubera is Ashen Skin Zubera.
That's what I thought. I knew it was Ashen, and I just wasn't sure what was after Ashen.
Very different spell books. Yes. If I went for a specific style of spell book, I mean, I guess I could come up with a commander specific, a commander's sure. spell book. Now, we should do that as a segment one day.
That would be cool. Now, Corrupt Court Official, not printed in foil, only printed in white border. So we're going to have a black border. Still non-foil version of Corrupt Court Official.
That's fine.
Yes.
All right.
So point two That was
question
part one. That was part one. So part two, describe an ideal Commander game for you.
I really want to answer this like they do in Miss Congeniality. You just explain your perfect day. No, the perfect Commander game. Everybody gets to do their stuff. Ultimately, I draw a bunch of cards. I probably play two or three cards that people go, "What is that?"
Mm-hmm.
Or what? I didn't even know that card existed, or I should look into that because it'd be really good in this specific deck. And I play with at least one commander that I've never seen before.
Okay.
That sounds like fun. That's an ideal game, but everybody gets to do what their deck is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's no longer than an hour and a half.
Okay. Okay. All right. My ideal game is going to be power level 8. On a 10 scale.
Okay.
Power level 8. Game finishes around turn 7 or 8. Very strong decks around the table. Maybe stuff that is fringe for the competitive scene that you don't normally see. Like, this is how I describe my own Nicol Bolas deck. It's Nicol Bolas. Planeswalker is not a very strong scheme in a 4-player free-for-all. So Nicol Bolas has a very strong shell for control, and then it has Planeswalker. So that's why it's power level 8. You could turn it into Kess, Consultation Kess, and it becomes power level 10, but it's power level 8. So I want power level 8 all across the board. People are there to compete, but in a friendly way. And I still have to say priority left. Okay, priority right. Back to me. Okay, we're good.
In that game, I would put my Narset deck back together.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked my Narset deck. It was just Narset turns.
Right.
Which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And at power level 8.
Yeah. It would be fun. Power level 8.
All right. That's your perfect game. All right.
All right.
Part three.
Do you consider 4-player Commander more comparable to a game of chess or a session of Dungeons and Dragons?
So I would say D&D because D&D is fun and chess is not.
All of our chess listeners just unsubscribed.
I think I've played chess twice, and the most chess that I've seen in the last couple of years is from Harry Potter.
Interesting. Battle chess. Got mm-hmm. it. Or fight chess.
If that's how chess was, though,
mm-hmm.
maybe I would say chess over D&D. But I enjoy playing D&D,
mm-hmm.
and I also enjoy playing Magic, so it's more like D&D.
Gotcha. I'm literally the exact opposite of your opinion. I've been playing chess since I was about 5 years old, and I love the game of chess, and I think it's great when it comes to strategy and trying to figure out what your opponent is doing based on their board state. They don't have anything in their hands. If they do, they're cheating in chess, though. That's
true. That's true.
And you know what the great thing about chess is? There's a clock. And so your opponent only has a certain amount of time to make their moves. Might be nice for Magic. I don't know. Just saying. Priority to you. Hit that clock.
There is a timer on Spell Table you can mm-hmm. track.
That's right.
If you click that little arrow, if you don't forget when someone ended their turn.
That's right. Well, yeah, they'd have to do it with priority, and priority would mess up.
So the answer to your question is we are indifferent and completely not in agreement on that last question.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, we have another question from our Discord.
Yes.
This is from Ben. On Twitter, the name is Stinky Boys.
That's correct.
Stinky Boys.
The question is, what's your favorite ramp spell? I'm going to let you go first because I have mine.
Like Crashing Drawbridge, the way that it's printed looks like a ramp.
That does look like a ramp.
So going literal, I'm going to say Crashing Drawbridge. not going literal, I am going to say I really like Tempt with Discovery, especially in a group where people don't know your deck.
So I'm turning around to reveal that I had literally typed in Tempt with Discovery is also, I think, my favorite ramp spell. You play Kadoma's Reach. You play Cultivate. I'm going to play Tempt of Discovery.
Yeah. Now the green ramp spell from Amonkhet that I can't remember the name of right now, that allows you to search for two lands and then enter the battlefield tapped. And then if you control three or more deserts, you get two zombies.
That's Hour of Promise.
Hour of Promise would probably be my second favorite. Mostly because it can grab both Cabal Coffers and Urborg at the same time.
It can do that.
Yeah.
But Tempted Discovery can do all three Tron lands.
Yeah, and untapped. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. So I think we are going with our favorites, Tempted Discovery. Don't pay for it and don't do it. I mean, pay for it. As in, don't go grab one for your opponent unless you really have to. And you'll be making a mistake, but I always grab it. I almost always.
I will make a deal with anyone listening right now. If you are ever on our Commander stream, if you always say yes to my Tempt with Discovery, I will always say yes to your Tempt with Discovery. Tempt with Vengeance, never saying yes to that. You probably have a Purphoros out and I don't see it. I've had that happen. I have misplayed real hard on that one before. Don't do that. All right. Our next question. You know what? Ben had a second question.
Okay.
And I think we should go with it. Don't sigh yet. So Ben asked, and I'm gonna turn this on myself as well. It's not just gonna be an attack on Andy. So Ben asked, have you ever put Oketra's Last Mercy in a commander deck? And the question for myself, have you ever put Neoform in a commander deck?
Yeah, okay. So the backstory to this question here is, so I'll explain Oketra's Last Mercy. Mm-hmm. It's a sorcery for one white. Your life total becomes equal to your starting life total. Lands you control don't untap during your next untap step. Not a bad card. Costs 3. Mm-hmm. You could be at 2. You're going to go back up to 40.
That's right.
I bought like 50 of this card. I don't know. I thought it was going to be the card. This is the card. Spoiler alert, it's not the card. Mm-mm. But if anyone needs an Oketra's Last Mercy, you just let me know and I will mail you. I would even do it for free. Mm-hmm. An Oketra's Last Mercy.
Yeah.
Granted, you would only have to pay me about a quarter to get the card anyway.
That's true.
That's all it would cost. It might even be cheaper for you to just go find it at your LGS than to wait for me. If I did it for free, it's obviously not cheaper. But
you'll have to wait.
But you'd have to wait.
Time,
right?
Is money.
Time, right. So it is cheaper.
Yeah, there you go.
I value my time as money.
That is correct.
So this is why this question was asked, because every time Ben looks through my bulk rares, he comes up to the stack of like a bunch of Oketra's Last Mercy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you put Neoform in a deck?
No, I haven't put it in it. So,
and
so
how many of those do you have?
120 copies of Neoform. So Neoform is an uncommon from War of the Spark for a green and a blue. It's a sorcery. It says additional cost to cast a spell, sacrifice a creature. Search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost equal to 1 plus the sacrifice creature's converted mana cost. Put that card onto the battlefield with additional +1/+1 counter on it, then shuffle your library. So this is very similar to Eldritch Evolution, although Eldritch Evolution, you can search for a card with 2 CMC higher and it's for 1 green-green, where this is green and blue. Neoform, you get a +1/+1 counter. Neoform became a big thing when the Grizzlebrand modern deck.
Was it Allosaurus Rider?
Allosaurus Rider. Cheating Allosaurus Rider out and then neoforming Allosaurus Rider into Grizzlebrand and eventually winning with a Laboratory Maniac win condition. So I thought Neoform was going to be huge. So I said, they were like 50 cents.
It was for like a month.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe they'll ban enough cards in modern. They banned the Urza deck to death. So maybe they'll keep banning things and then Grizzlebrand will become a thing again.
Sure.
All they have to do is ban. So honestly, if Force of Negation didn't get printed in Modern Horizons, I think Grizzlebrand would still be a really good deck today. Force of Negation allowing you to prevent the turn 0 or the turn 1 win from Neoform is huge. So Force of Negation, I own a lot of copies of you. You're worth a good amount of money. If you hadn't got printed, Neoform might be worth $2 a card right now. And I bought them for about 50 cents a piece. That would be cool. Yeah. So no, I don't have it in any deck. The only deck I probably would put it in is in Yarik, but Yarik is an all permanents deck. So it can't have Neoform in it per my strategy.
Bummer.
Do you have a Catcher's Last Mercy in any deck?
No.
Okay.
It's not in a deck. Nope. I didn't even answer that, did I?
No.
Nope. Not in a deck. We told you why the question was asked.
Yes.
All right. So the next question comes from Dan Krauss, DP Krauss Jr. on Twitter. Mm-hmm. This was asked in our Discord. If you could hang out with one legendary creature or planeswalker for a day, who would it be and what would you be doing?
Oh, man.
This is a hard question.
I think
I'd be on Ravnica doing something.
Yeah. I say Amonkhet's my favorite plane, but I ain't going there. No way.
It could be. They didn't say it has to be present day. Assume it's any time.
Yeah. It's a desert. I don't want to go there.
They have a desert oasis. I mean, Cascading Cataracts looks like a really nice place to just go swimming for the afternoon.
I mean, it would be cool to have like the gods walking among you, I suppose.
That would be a little scary, though.
I guess if you don't make Bantu mad,
they're gonna stab you in the back.
She might eat you.
They're gonna stab you in the back.
Yeah. I'd probably also go to Ravnica, and I'd probably try my hardest to go to, you know, a library.
Oh, you just want to go to a library?
Talk to some people in a library.
You're going to be at Coils and they're just like pulling books to see if you can get something to open.
I would try to find the Dimir so hard.
Spoiler alert, they're the librarians.
That's correct. So find Lazav, find out how to join, become a Dimir, lose my entire mind because Lazav mind controls me. Great time.
Okay. I'm gonna go a different route.
Okay, okay.
But I'm also gonna be around. But I like guilds where it's like it's fall. You know, it's really nice. The best time of year. It started like now. So sure. Yep. Yep. So it's fall. And I'm gonna be somewhere. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go sightseeing. I'm gonna see all the gates.
Oh.
I'm gonna go check out the gates. I don't know who with, but I guess. Maybe I'll...
Matt Selesnya.
Matt. I don't know if it's Matt or Mott. I don't know. I haven't...
Me neither. Fair. Never met him before.
I would probably be traveling with some legendary from Ravnica. Maybe it is... I mean, it could be Lavinia. She seems like she'd be a good host.
Oh, and all the stories, it just seems like kind of a wet blanket, though, sometimes, too.
She's a little stiff in the stories.
Yeah.
So maybe I go with, what was her name? Hakara?
Oh, yeah.
Hakara was, from Rakdos. She seemed really funny.
Yeah.
She seemed really nice.
As long as she's not trying to stab you the whole time, that would be cool.
So sightseeing with Hakara. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. I was about to ask you if there's anyone that you didn't, any legendary that you didn't want to go. Like, I don't want to go sightseeing with Borborygmos. I don't want to go sightseeing with Rakdos. I don't want to go sightseeing with Dovinban.
I don't want to go sightseeing with Dovinban. Dovinban can't go sightseeing.
Ha. Spoiler.
It's not a spoiler anymore, but he got throwing darts in his eyes in the story. So
from Chandra. Just kidding. It was Lazav.
It was you being controlled by Lazav.
Yes.
Okay. And then there was a quick follow-up, which is a fun Michigan related question. And they said, and follow-up, because Dan's asked on our Twitter before and they talked about it online. They said, follow-up, does it involve Sanders hot fudge? And if not, why not? So Sanders is a Michigan-based company. It started out as a chocolate shop. Today they sell, so if you're from Michigan, you definitely know about Sanders. There's hot fudge and they sell bumpy cake. Both are delicious. Really good gifts at Christmas, in all honesty. And
for sure.
I send them to my clients that live out of state because, you know, you do that, you do Better Made Chips and you do Verner's. So would my time on Ravnica include Sanders Hot Fudge? No, but I'd come home and I'd eat some. Sure.
If Lazav wanted me to do things with Sanders Hot Fudge in order to join the Dimir, I would do them. I would. But, you know, I think, is Sanders sold by Morley Candy? I was always a Morley Candy growing up.
No, I don't. I don't believe they're associated.
No, I don't know if they like buy the Sanders and then sell it in their catalog because Sanders isn't a catalog company, but Morley is a catalog company.
I don't believe so. In 2018, Sanders became a division of Cars Nuts.
Oh,
I don't think there's. I mean, I don't know much about Morley Candy, so
I'm gonna crack open a Rockin' Rye Faygo, eat some Better Made potato chips. Drive my GM car and go on some roads that have giant potholes in them everywhere.
On your way to Mackinac.
Welcome to Michigan.
Pure Michigan.
Pure Michigan.
Okay, back to the questions. I think we have some more. So we have more on Twitter, and we have more from our Discord.
So on our Discord, we have MagicMan2614 asking, what is your favorite part about Magic? So this can be anything.
Okay. I like opening packs. I really like opening packs.
I
didn't
even think about that. I just said it could be anything, and I didn't even think about that.
I think opening packs, and particularly with Zendikar Rising, I really enjoy opening the box topper.
Ooh, yeah.
It's really fun. I like opening packs, and you know, as I know I might have complained about it, but like I don't mind sorting cards because the satisfaction of having them sorted at the end is like all my cards are sorted by set and by color. I like card sorting while listening to like Magic podcasts or watching like Command Zone, and I just have it on in the game room while I'm sorting cards all over the floor.
Nice.
Opening packs, but I immediately throw the pack in a waste bin. I do not just throw it on the table or the floor.
Oh gosh. But that's the best part.
It's not.
You let someone else clean up your mess.
Oh no.
Yeah. The best part about cooking is cooking. You get someone else to clean up for you if you can.
Isn't
you
the be best like, part about
I cooked, you clean.
Yeah. I like crockpot dinners. So
yeah, that was good. So my favorite part about Magic. I'm going to be real cheesy with this one. It's going to be meeting all these new people that we've been meeting through the podcast and streaming and all this stuff. And the community that we've developed has been really, really cool.
Yeah.
And never expected something like this to happen. And yeah, no, that's been my
favorite part. Who knew it would take off the most when we were all stuck at home and couldn't even get together?
Yeah, no kidding. Thank goodness for webcams.
Started the podcast over a year ago, brought Coil on, and then it's like, oh, we met all these people who would like to have us on their show. We want them to be on our show. We've had guests on our stream. We've been on other people's stream. It's been a lot of fun. So yeah, that's also really...
People asking us for our opinions on like deck builds and stuff, and it's like...
Who am I?
Yeah, it's like in my head, I'm like, why do you care what I think?
Right.
But thank you for caring what we think.
I read a lot of articles, but I think I learn something new or think about something a different way every single time I read an article. I'm like, why is this card here? And then I read the three sentences about why they included this card. And I was like, why was I never including this card? Mm. Because it makes so much sense as to, you know, why someone's including X card. So, okay, fine. That's my second favorite part.
Okay.
But I really like opening packs. Yeah.
Very fair.
Okay. Another question. Let's pull one from Twitter here. Let's pull one from Twitter. We have a question from... got to pull one up. It's from... Oh, wait, did we answer all the questions?
No.
Hold on.
Three.
We do have another question.
We have one more.
Okay. So the question is, where are you at?
It was, how do you determine when?
Yeah. So it says, what makes you keep a deck together or pull it apart? This is from Jacob Besh. So the Besh around on Twitter. I'm half considering ripping apart four or five decks and making new ones and switching commanders to get new colors. So what makes you keep it together or take a deck apart? So, I like when I enjoy playing the deck over and over. So I leave it together. I also, like to have variety. So I have one, like I've talked about this before. It's been a minute. I have one commander deck for all 10 guilds on Ravnica, and the commanders are actually from each of the guilds. I want to have a night where we just play in person, and we can just like roll a die and everybody just plays those guilds. And some of the decks are stronger than others, so I don't really know if they're all on the exact same level. But I leave those together because I like the flavor. I like the way that those decks play. I take a deck apart when I don't enjoy how it plays or if it's extremely repetitive.
Right.
So like one of the decks that I took apart was Lord Windgrace. Personally, I just didn't like playing that deck. I took apart Narset. Enlightened Master, because the deck played out the same way. I cast a couple big spells and then no one else really had fun. I really enjoyed it, and there was some variance because you have to flip four, and
right,
and sometimes you don't do very well, or you get two artifacts and you go, well, I did not need an artifact,
right, because
I have three lands in my hand. Mm-hmm. I needed a spell. But to keep it together, I really have to like the deck, or I just haven't been back to it in a while to realize I haven't enjoyed it to take it apart.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say I think I agree on most accounts. It's when a deck gets stale for me that I try to spice things up. So I did a combination. I took my Mono Black Reanimator deck apart, and I took my Gitrog deck apart, and I made a Golgari Dredge Reanimator deck combination, helmed by Hogak, Killer of Modern. So, you know, something like that, where you do want to expand into more colors. Something isn't quite doing what you want. Maybe you have a deck where, hey, this deck would be a lot better if I could draw cards, so let me add a commander that has blue or green, so you can actually gain more access to those card draws. Just make sure that you are... same rule that if you're going to get a tattoo, for me, you know, you gotta sit on that idea. Am I okay with taking this deck apart right now? Am I never going to play this deck again? And as soon as you can say, yes, I'm never going to play this deck again, take it apart. You need those, you know, expensive permanents for your other decks. Do it up.
All right. So
one question again from our Discord.
Okay.
From Chris, or Kelsum Gaming. What are your top five hopes for Commander Legends?
Okay. So I've said this, I think I even said it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I would like to see the remainder of the Ravnica Perrins from the guilds that we have not seen yet. So we have not seen the Selesnya Perrin, which is Matt Selesnya. We have not seen the Gruul Perrin, which is I'm going to try this. Sizarzim.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen that one yet. And we have not seen the Golgari Perrin, Svalthir.
And we haven't seen the Simic Perrin either. Simic.
And you're right. We have not seen Simic. And that was just signed on the guild pact with the word Simic.
That's
so they
right.
Assume their name is Simic.
It's going to be some gelatinous blob.
For sure. For sure. So there's four.
Okay.
Four. I'm going to count those as four.
Because
I've talked about this. Maybe it could be one. Another one would be I don't want green to have anything broken.
Okay.
In all honesty, but I'd like to see a commander. And we talked about this a lot. I think we did briefly talk about, I think when we first heard about Commander Legends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want a Commander Legend that cares about level up.
Okay. Yep.
It's a mechanic that we haven't seen. I really like commanders that care about specific mechanics, because when I build a commander deck, I don't really have a good stuff deck. I usually have a commander that needs to be out for the deck to function properly.
Right, right.
So that's what I would like to see.
Okay. For me, I know we all know that we're getting a Jeskha Planeswalker. For all intents and purposes, we quote unquote know we're getting a Jeskha Planeswalker. I want that to be legal. Can be commander legal.
Quail wants a Planeswalker commander.
Just Jeskha.
Oh.
That's it. That's the only one. Sister of Kamal. I think they're brother sister. I think.
I don't
remember.
To be fair, I'm not sure, but I do know that Ashiok is not the son of...
That is correct. We figured that out. I want a Mishra that can be played better in Commander.
Not the one that cares about the names of like multiple.
Yeah, having multiple cards of the same name in your deck.
Uh-huh.
I want Vial Smasher to have a good blue partner.
Okay, I am sure you will find one.
Right. I would like them to finish the Battle Bond land cycle. So we have the ally colors for the Battle Bond lands. I would like the enemy colors for the Battle Bond lands.
Okay.
And some hot, spicy, mono black partner commanders that would go really well together.
Okay.
Just black and black. I want.
Because Coil wants to build the best color pair deck, and it's mono black.
Mono black is the best color combination in Magic the Gathering. Yes. So those are my five hopes for Commander Legends.
Okay. We have another question from Lenny, a Johnny's Gay Pride mate on Twitter. What's the coolest deck you've seen in the wild that wasn't built by him? So Lenny's got really cool decks. This is a good one. I have lost to a green red Rada deck.
Mm-hmm. Which Rada?
The one that gives you mana when you're swinging for each creature, the one from Dominaria.
Dominaria Rada.
Yeah, yep. I think that's for each creature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just got trampled over. And honestly, it was really cool seeing because they were just like, no, I'm going to do this. No, I'm going to give it indestructible because I have all this mana. Mm-hmm. That was a really cool deck to see. And I like to play. I just have a thing playing against like dino decks. Those are really fun.
Okay.
They're not particularly like unique, I guess. I mean, I'm not saying they're not. All the dino players are now turning off the podcast. They're like, wow, I'm never listening to the show again.
Yeah. They're buried, prehistoric.
But they're definitely, you know, they're playing dinos for mm-hmm. sure. But I think I'm going to go with that one. Yeah. A Rada deck that our buddy Kyle had.
Okay.
It was really cool.
Cool. So I also kind of have two. So one, when we first started playing Webcam Magic, this was in the Play EDH Discord, I found the first time I'd ever played against a Horobi Death's Wail deck, which is all about whenever something becomes the target of a spell, destroy that creature. And I'd never seen someone play Horobi before. So that was really cool to see.
Was it horrible?
No, it was great. It was actually really...
I played against one before and it was very cool. All the ridiculous artifacts that are tapped to give a creature +1/+1. You're mm-hmm. like, wait, that's just dead now.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Bye-bye. And the other one was actually a deck that I found at Command Fest Chicago, which was a Dakin Black Blade Esper deck, which was all about voting. It had all the vote cards.
I remember there. You were at that table.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I don't remember the gentleman that was playing that deck, his name, but very, very unique deck. And I think we actually played it in a game of Pinata. So it was trying to destroy the Pinata rather than each other. So Those were the two really unique decks that I have found in the wild, not made by Lenny.
Not made by Lenny. And I think we have one last question. This is coming from Bruce from the Epic Experiment podcast.
Okay.
When you are building a deck, who do you like to talk to about card choices and why? I feel like when I build a deck, I reach out to Coyle and Brian, mm-hmm. one of our old hosts.
Yes.
Why? Because they understand Magic and they're also building decks for Commander specifically, so they usually have their own take on it. They call me if they want tips on Azorius cards. I'm like, I don't know how to play Mono Black, Coyle. What do I do here?
You just kill things, reanimate, and make sure gray merchants in your deck somewhere.
Brian's our green aficionado. Mm-hmm. So I reach out to Brian. How do I build green? You got Cultivate, Kodama's Reach, all that. You got the basics. Okay, let's find the big green spills now.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to do more crowdsourcing, I guess, for my deck building because I don't do much of it.
We talk a lot now that we have the Discord. Mm-hmm. We reach out and we're like, okay, thoughts on this? Mm-hmm. Or we do post things on Twitter and we get a lot of responses. Now, you do a lot of, hey, here's what I'm going to play tonight. And then you'll get some responses on, right. Are you playing it this way? Or how about this card? Or here's my favorite card for a She-Ray deck. Mm-hmm. I've seen lots of posts on She-Ray. So. Yeah.
And in my Morophon deck, it was an Everything Tribal that we're going to shift it a little bit. But yeah, no, I really like using Scryfall as a tool and I think I should ask other people more because you'll learn about some very invaluable cards that you don't know about that maybe you can't find on Scryfall or something. So yeah, you should definitely reach out more. I should definitely reach out more.
We both should reach out more.
We should reach out more.
Reach out.
Reaching out. Touching hands.
Oh, no. Okay.
Touching
hands. I was just going to... Nice.
Sweet Caroline.
I know. Bum, bum, bum. All right. We're not going to continue. We have to stop. We have to move on.
I know.
But before we sign off, I think that's the end of our questions today.
It is.
We do want to remind you that we have a stream every Thursday for Paper Commander. Tomorrow, Zach and Ryan are joining from Commander Social. They're going to be back on the show, so that's really exciting. So I'm looking forward to getting my butt kicked because that's what happened last time. But mm-hmm. we usually play a little bit, you know, upper mid power level. So I might pull out some decks that I haven't played before, like the Locust God, maybe. Nice. I haven't played that on stream ever, or Lavinia. I've never played it on stream.
As long as I get some of the singles that I messaged one of our LGSs about, I should be able to complete my Illuna deck for yeah. that stream.
So. Yeah. So check that out. You can that we stream on my Twitch page at twitch.tv/atflory. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter at atflory.
You can find me on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine.
And you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com or tweet at us. Thank you for sending all of your questions this week. We hope we answered all of them. Sufficiently. And if you have any more, send them to us, because we'll be doing more mailbag questions in the future.
Yes. The conclusion of episode 69.
Nice.
Nice. Ryan.
Yeah.
Nice.